And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
And it is a Friday morning here on the John Gambling Show, and it is time for Mayor Michael Bloomberg to join us here at 77 WABC. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, John. A rainy and will be a very windy Friday. Be careful this afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, things that blow around in our building department's going to, you know, remind all of the construction sites, tie everything down. We don't need things blowing away.
Oh, we always a problem when we get those high
it
winds.
It is always.
But, and a dangerous situation, too.
But having said that, it has been warm weather. We can't complain about the cold.
Not like Chicago with 16 inches of snow.
I couldn't believe that. I mean,
your friend Mr. Daley is dealing with that.
Mr. Daley is dealing with it. He's a very competent mayor. I'm sure he'll do a good job. My thoughts are with him, but better him than me.
Rich. I hear you. All mayors have their troubles, and unfortunately, New York City finds themselves in another controversial spot. It's almost a week ago, Saturday night, that Sean Bell lost his life shootout in Queens at the Kahlua Cabaret. The funeral tonight at 7 o'clock. A difficult time for everybody, most difficult for the families, obviously.
You know, I spent an hour talking to the mother and father of Sean Bell, who was shot and died. There were three shot and one died. The other two, I gather, will live. You know, what do you ever say to the parents?
I would have nowhere to start.
I gave a talk the other day, and I described it, and I said, I hope nobody in this room ever finds out what it's like to be a parent losing a kid. But we talked about the world and society and raising kids, and the parents wanted to be assured that there would be a complete and thorough investigation. And I pointed out that it's up to the district attorney under our system to take over the investigation, because in particularly this case there are police officers involved, and you don't want the police department shouldn't be investigating itself. The district attorney should do that. I don't know what he's going to do. His job is to decide whether or not to empower a grand jury and then present evidence and let them make a decision as to whether there is reasonable probability of a crime being committed. And then if they were to vote yes, then he's to prosecute in court, and then a jury would decide. In the meantime, I said to him, how long? And he said he wasn't sure. But, you know, these things can take weeks before you go to
the police. Police do their own investigation as well.
Police will do an investigation as well. But the police department can't talk to the five police officers who shot. The police can talk to the two police officers who did not shoot and to any other witnesses.
Why is that? So that it's not tainted for the grand jury?
That's correct. If the police department were to talk to the officers against which there may be charges, you would be giving them immunity. So this is a common practice throughout the country, and certainly here. You turn it over to the district attorney, and then the district attorney uses the police department to collect evidence and things like that.
Do I assume correctly that the district attorney is in the process of talking with these individuals?
I don't know, but I would assume.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, yeah,
this would have already started.
Right. By now, sure. I would assume so, as well. And we'll just see what happens. What is clear is that one person is dead to a shot. What is clear is that the police department has kept the city safe and keeps bringing crime down, and these guys have dangerous jobs. You know, while we're talking about this undercover operation, there's a trial going on for two undercover cops who were shot in the back of their head while they were trying to save the rest of us. So, you know, it is complicated. There's emotions.
There's emotion, exactly.
Emotions, yeah. I mean, and some people are just, outrageously putting out flyers and going on some radio shows, inciting people to say things, or even worse, against the police department. Remember, the police department, these guys are out there and women are out there trying to protect us. And we will make sure that there's a fair investigation here and find out what happened and take appropriate steps. I don't know. I wasn't there. It was at 4 o'clock in the morning in southeast Queens, outside of this club, and I don't know what happened. But irresponsible behavior is just outrageous on the public. I and the police commissioner and my deputy mayor, Dennis Walcott, who will go to the funeral tonight. I won't go, but he will go. You know, we've probably made a few hundred calls outreaching to leaders. I've talked to Nydia Velazquez, a congresswoman, yesterday in Washington. She's concerned that, you know, that she wants to make sure that communities are protected and that there's no profiling, which Commissioner Kelly did put out a anti-profiling regulation. One of the first things he did when he came into – when I appointed him 5 years ago. I've talked to – this morning I talked to Reverend Calvin Butts and Reverend Daughtry, both of whom were at Gracie Mansion for World AIDS Day. I've reached out to elected officials and community leaders.
And what are you hearing back from them? What are they saying to you?
Generally speaking, they think that that they say nice things about how the city has handled this. That
because you've been criticized from the other side.
You know, if you get criticized
for throwing it to those that are that are on the podium,
then you probably have it right. Okay. If you're going down the middle. Number one, we don't know what happened. Number two, we have a process. We're a country of laws, and we're going to follow those laws. And police can do some things, and district attorney will do others, and we'll go through that. Number three, what the police department can really do is look at their procedures and see if there's any reason to change them. They may have the right procedures and they weren't followed, or they may have the wrong procedures that were followed, or any combination thereof. Ray Kelly has already appointed a commission to start looking at undercover procedures, but you know,
That's no indication that the police commissioner thinks that there is an issue here with what was going on at the Kahlua Club.
Our police department, and I hope it's true of every one of our city agencies, is always looking at what they do and seeing whether they can do it better. I think clearly right now there is impetus to take another look, sure, because there was an event, a very tragic event. And it's as good a time as any. But, you know, this police department has, at least I can't speak for before 5 years ago, but I can tell you from January 1st, 2002, when I took office and Kelly became the police commissioner, they keep looking at their procedures, seeing if they can do a better job. The results speak for themselves. Crime's down another 20-25%. And they're doing everything that you could ask for. What exactly happened outside of this club in Queens, I don't know, and that's up to the district attorney to find out, and he will use the police department to try to get some information. But what you have to do as mayor is assure the community that we are following the law, that everything will be done without any preconceptions, and the chips will fall where they may, and that you also have to assure the community that we understand that that people are upset, and provide some sympathy and guidance. It's not to prejudge anything. It is to be understanding. This is a city that works well together. It's in everybody's interest to have everybody feel that their concerns are listened to. That doesn't mean you follow every one of them. Some people have criticized me for talking to some of the more activist community leaders. My job is to do that. You talk to everybody. I've always been a believer, talk to everybody. That doesn't mean you follow them.
Some have claimed that you've sort of turned it over to them. I think that's irresponsible.
They have a right to go into the streets and say anything they want. I think most of them are acting pretty responsibly. And the reason is because they feel, I think, that the city is listening. That doesn't mean the city's changing anything. But, you know, there are those that criticize me. Oh, you have absolutely no – you should never talk to Joe or Sally. What are you talking about? My job is to talk to everybody, make sure that they understand what we're doing, not change what we're doing, but they have a right to know what we're doing and how we're going about it. They're the public.
All right, I've got a couple of more questions on this, which we'll get to. Let me take a break real fast here, and when we come back, there's more with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. We are continuing on our Friday John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. We're talking about the Sean Bell shooting, lots of unanswered questions, and I think one of the questions is there anything, does Ray Kelly tell you, is there anything to this fourth man question in the car?
They're doing an investigation. And when they have something to say, you know, one police plaza will put it out if there is anything. You know, some people say there was a fourth person, and the police department will do an investigation, turn over anything that they learn to the district attorney. There's nothing that I can tell you this morning that's different. Fundamentally, what is important here is today two people are going to bury their son and a fiancé is going to bury her fiancé. There's not much left to say after that. And I just, anybody that is trying to incite people against the police department.
There have been rumors that this funeral and the viewing will be used as some sort of
We'll make sure there's protection for everybody. And this city should be about pulling together and talking to each other and trying to work things out, not trying to tear people apart. And that's what we're going
to
do.
Listening to what we were saying before the break, I think a lot of people are wonder why we don't know what happened. I've heard your explanation, but is the process flawed where an investigation can't really go forward in a timely manner?
I don't know that what you said is true at all. The district attorney, as far as I know, is doing an investigation in a timely manner. What you want is the district attorney to tell you every single thing he's doing.
Yes.
And that's not going to get us justice, which is, what's more important? To make sure that the district attorney finds out what happened and takes appropriate steps if the law was broken. And doesn't prejudge, that to me is what it's all about. Police officers and civilians in this city, every one of them has the right to be judged fairly. And as far as I can tell, Dick Brown, the Queens District Attorney, is doing exactly that. It may not give you enough to talk about on the radio show, but that's not Dick Brown's job.
I understand that's not Dick Brown's job. Is it normal, as Ray Kelly told you, is it normal to have five people on an undercover stakeout?
This is a team that has been put together to work on clubs that have a disproportionate number of crimes being committed in and outside the clubs. This club was closed down last year. It reopened. There have been a number of 911 calls and arrests made in and around the club, and they were there for that reason. And I think it was just normal procedure. They had two cops inside and some outside.
Okay. Why don't we leave that? We've covered this story pretty much, at least from as much as we know right now and as much as you know right now. Real fast, because we're closing in on another break here on the half hour. School funds that another court ruled that instead of the $5 to $6 billion that a previous court had ruled should come out of the state to the city of New York, now about almost $2 billion.
Judges never said it should come out of the state. That's one of the issues of contention. The suit was, and the first judge ruled, and the court upheld it, although changed the amount. It said that the state should see that more money is spent. One of the arguments is whose money should be spent. Now, the state legislature could pass a law saying the city has to spend X number of dollars itself. The state legislature could pass a law saying they are going to provide those monies. The state can give us more aid than this. This is just an amount of money that the court said would comply with the original judge's decision of what resources you need to provide a basic education, however it was framed. Keep in mind, New York City spends $15.5 billion. Since I came into office, we have added $3.5 billion annually, to the amount of money we spend on our public school system.
Is this money ever going to happen? I mean, is this money, do you think, ever? I mean, whatever is a long time,
but
you know what I mean.
There will be more money coming, but it will be spent on schools. And we're working on a list of the things that we will spend that money on. We were originally asked to come up with a list 3 years ago. If we had $5 billion to spend, I said what it was. If we have $2 billion to spend, we'll have a list of that. But the city has increased its spending by $3.5 billion. That's city taxpayer money. The state is has increased by $1.5 billion. That's the total of five in the last 5 years. So is it going to go up more? Sure. Even without this, it would have gone up more.
Do you think that they will argue? Possibly Elliot Spitzer has said he wants more money to be spent in New York City schools.
As long as it's money coming from the state, I think it's a great idea. I couldn't agree more with them.
That's the point I was going to ask you. Do you think that they are going to argue that it's the city and therefore you got to come up with
more
money?
What I've argued is we've been standing up and taxing ourselves and willing to spend to improve public education. I think the state could do a lot more. And I hope Elliot gets him to do it. I think he understands the city. He understands the need for education. I couldn't agree more with him. I just think that the city's done its part and is doing its part. And we just agreed to a new contract with our teachers, which will keep our teachers being able to focus in the classroom rather than how they're going to pay the bills, at least a little more, not totally maybe, but more. And we're doing that with city funds.
All right, Mr. Mayor, take a rest. We'll be right back. 1-800-848-WABC. We'll be taking telephone calls coming up at the end of the program, as we always do. If you want to get in the queue, 1-800-848-WABC. Right now, it's time on the half hour.
WABC has activated.
We continue, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, John Gambling, and you at 77 WABC. Property tax rates going up a little bit?
The property taxes go up or down with assessments. So if property values are increasing, every year property taxes do go up some. The city council passed a resolution which then goes to Albany, and Albany has to sign on, which would cap the size of the increases for 1, 2, 3 family houses, I think, at less than what you would have based on the increase in property values. Now, that fundamentally shifts some of the burden to the bigger owners because theirs aren't capped. But there's no increase in the tax rate. Having said that, that's a little bit duplicitous because people's taxes will go up. Yeah. Having said that, would you rather have the value of your house not go up? Now, some people would say, yeah, because I'm not selling my house and all it is means more cash out of my pocket. That is true. Those people who are deciding to, you know, change houses, move, whatever, they say, oh, no, 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 I want my property values to go up. Truth of the matter is, as the city gets better and more people want to live here, property values go up, and with that, property taxes. But what it'll amount to for a 1, 2, 3 family house is, I think, about a couple of percent. And look, any taxes are too much. Nobody wants to have more taxes.
They switched this out in Nassau County a couple of years ago as well, where they had sort of an assessment that was on the books for a long time at the same number. It did not take into account the valuation increases. And now they tie it exactly the way the city does as well. And if, as you say, if you're not moving and you're living in your house, it seems unfair.
That is, well, it's. I don't know that it's unfair. It is certainly difficult to live with, I think, is a way to say it. I, if you remember, when we raised property taxes, I hate to bring this up, but 4 or 5 years ago, because we want to pay our teachers and city workers, I said that we should raise the taxes more on those who can take advantage of the increase in property values. In other words, somebody who's in the business of owning apartments or houses, and they can trade them. They may make a business decision not to, but they aren't the same as a homeowner who says, look, I have to buy another house. If I sell this, I can't move. So, you know, and that was what the property tax rebate was about. The law lets the city council, in this case it was in all fairness with the mayor, raise the property rate, but then we needed Albany to help us cut back the amount that the 1, 2, and 3 family home owner had to pay. So the rebate took care of that. We've got to get that law renewed this year. We'll be working up in Albany. Hopefully that gets done. But even so, people will say, oh, but wait a second, even with a rebate, my taxes went up. Yes, that is because property values
went up. How about you increase the rebate by the same percentage?
You could. There's one minor problem.
What's that?
People want services.
Oh.
And services cost money.
I just thought I'd do a little help here for the, you know, the
I appreciate that.
Average Joe and Gina.
And I'm just, you tell me which things you want me to cut back and get people to agree to that. I'll show you right where they stand on the steps of City Hall. Thank you. And I'm happy to do it. And I always thought that when people say they want another service, I should go and say, okay, if you want this service, this is the other place in the city we're going to cut back. put a sign up on that other place, whether it's a building or a city worker who we're not going to be able to afford anymore, and then let the dialogue begin. You guys go fight it out.
Speaking of cutting back, there's been a recommendation to close 6 hospitals, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I think if you read the recommendation, that's a little bit misleading. Close a half a dozen thereabouts totally, but merge a number of others. The truth of the matter is our health costs are more than the private or the public sector can afford. And we have a lot of beds that cost money to keep them open but aren't used.
How did we end up there with more beds than we need?
Because nobody ever wants to close. People staying in hospital. I think the average stay in hospitals has gone down quite significantly. You know, a woman just having a baby, assuming everything is normal, you're out in a day or so, and that's good because you want to get home. You can have a baby at home. But if something goes wrong, you really want to be in a hospital for the emergencies. But people used to have babies at homes all the time. The trouble is that when there was a problem, you didn't have the experts there and the technology to help you. So what the governor did was similar to what Congress did when we had too many military bases and nobody's willing to do it. They come up, they say there's going to be an independent commission. The legislature can vote the whole thing but can't make any changes. That gets rid of I'm in favor of saving money, but don't close the hospital in my district. And this commission, I don't know if it's – I think the people on it are very reputable, great credentials. Berger, who ran the commission, is a smart guy. And I don't know if I were running it, I would have come up with something different.
What happens to the buildings that are now emptied? Do you sell them?
Yeah,
If
they're empty, there are other uses. A lot of old hospitals get turned into apartments.
Or schools?
Or schools or something. Yeah, I mean, sometimes to convert them into schools would cost more because of the layout to change than ripping it down and starting from scratch. But the land is valuable. The buildings may be valuable. In any case, you stop the expense of paying for unused beds. Now, there are jobs involved. And people say even if those beds are unused, they're at least close by. So if in an emergency I needed it, it would be there. And there's arguments to that, too. The trouble is we can't have everything. And that's the thing that people find so difficult, particularly our elected officials, to deal with, that you can't have everything. And it's got to be a choice. And that's why I come back to, tell me what you want. Fine. Just tell me what we cut back so I can give you what you want, and I'll let you talk to the other guy.
And explain why,
and you guys work it out.
I'll
lock you both in a room, and just let me know. When I hear the screaming stop, which I'd be interested to open the door and see who's still standing. speaking of standing, before I forget, I don't forget this. Today is World AIDS Day. And over the past 5 years, we have worked really hard to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS. This is a disease that it's just sickening that it continues here in the city because we know exactly how to stop it. We're trying to encourage people to get tested. I know nobody thinks they're positive, but if you get tested, and if everything's fine, great.
There's talk of mandatory testing when you go for blood work that it would be part of it.
Personally, we test for a lot of things, make it mandatory. If you are positive, you can make the civil liberties case that it's nobody's business. But the truth of the matter is if you don't know, you spread it, and then it's the other guy's business as well. So we want to do is keep getting people to test. We're going to expand the testing in our HHC hospitals and a variety of other things. But rapid testing is available at the health departments, STD clinics, in all 5 boroughs. And you get results within 30 minutes. Used to be one of these things you had to wait a long time. But we are testing more. And the public hospitals are using these rapid tests. So that is one of the things, and I had a reception at Gracie Mansion this morning for AIDS Day. Another thing is we are losing a city employee who's a very valuable guy, Josh Sarifman, and he's leaving. He's been the temporary head of the Economic Development Commission, going to the private sector, where I came from. But he's done an awful lot for the city, really has changed the way that the Economic Development Commission approaches large-scale development, and I just wanted to tell him we're going to miss him.
Well, it must be important. We don't get too many.
I know that, but this guy's.
I
can tell you, this guy's been sitting just down the row from me. He was always there. I come in early. He's always there when I come in. I don't know how much earlier, maybe 1 minute, but I think a long time because it looks like he's finished his coffee. And when I leave, he is always there. And I'm a little bit of a workaholic, but this guy is even more so.
While we're talking about some of these things, too, I wanted to bring up that I was reading a little item that I believe today, December 1st, a new law goes into effect on battery recycling. That if you don't recycle your batteries right, there's a law that will fine you.
I gather that rechargeable battery, all batteries are made with a lot of chemicals and dangerous elements, but rechargeable batteries are particularly dangerous if you put them in a landfill. 20 years from now, we'd like to be able to put a park there and use them.
How many batteries are in landfills?
I understand that. So we want to stop and pretty much every store and lots of places will take the old batteries and dispose of them safely for you. And you read these stories, old computers, the same thing. They're loaded with the kinds of
mercury and things.
Yeah,
heavy metals.
In order to get the great technology that lets us communicate around the world and have things that are light and reliable and flexible, you use strange elements. And these things are, just thinking about that while we're talking. There's a minister that I spent a lot of time with this week, Bishop Lester Williams, who is the bishop. He's the clergy person for the family of this guy that was killed,
the Bell family.
And, I was talking to him about society and how we're doing better in our schools and crime's coming down, but we have a lot more to do and that sort of thing. There are a lot of people in this world who try to make a difference and help others, and I had a good feeling about this guy this week. He was.
I'm sure you ran into a bunch of people like that this week. I mean,
you really do get a good feeling about this city of the number of people that are trying to pull people together and understand we're not perfect, but we can do better, and
Okay. Let me take a break, then we'll go to the phones, okay? 1-800-848-WABC. If you've got a question, you will be next. We got a weather problem.
WABC.
WABC. All right, we've got you on the phone at 1-800-848-WABC. David, you're up first with the mayor. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Gambling. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to say to you that the best thing you could have done is not go to that funeral tonight. I'm an African American, and I am so sick and tired of Charles Barron and Al Sharpton. Every time there's a situation like this, they use it and they make racial hay. And I think you're doing the right thing, because I'm afraid if you go, you're just going to get abused. But I want to ask you a question. I belong to the Congress of Racial Equality, and I'm wondering, have you reached out to Roy or Nigel Innes during this whole situation?
I don't know whether they were on the list. We had a big list of people to call. I know the Inneses. David, people have a right to say what they want to say. My job is to pull people together, or at least to tell them what we're doing and not to make anything up. And I've said from day one with this incident, but also with other things, I'm going to tell you exactly what I know, no more, no less. I'm not going to make it up. There are activists who feel very strongly about things. Some I agree with, some I don't. This is a day to, feel sorry for the parents, and I chose, to do it in my way. I did spend a lot of time with them the other day. They're very nice people, and, it's their son that's not coming home, no matter what happened, and that's up to the district attorney to find out.
Okay.
So, whatever. Chris?
All right, David, thank you. Let's go to Chris in Harlem. Chris, go ahead with the mayor.
Hi. I just wanted to reiterate that I am appreciative of the fact that you and Governor Pataki decided to call a shooting excessive, where you are currently receiving criticism for saying. But I just also wanted to say that when you have an officer and you know that that one officer, Oliver, shot 33 times, that there's not it goes against racial boundaries, that you know in your heart that that sounds excessive and it is excessive. My question is, do you feel that there can be an accurate police investigation where on one hand you have officers saying there's a fourth guy with a gun, this in a way could justify or not justify the shooting, don't you think that there needs to be, I mean, not from a mayor's perspective, but from a civilian, that an independent FBI investigation needs to be done?
Because we do have an independent investigation. It's being done by the Queens District Attorney. That's why things are turned over to the District Attorney in cases like this, rather than having the police department do an internal investigation. And Dick Brown's a guy I've known for certainly the 5 years I've been in office, but actually he's one of the few elected officials I've known for probably a lot longer, maybe double that time. He's very good friends, he and his wife, with two friends of mine, so I know him socially. He's a very quality guy. He's very smart, and he will not be influenced by pressure groups or the press or anything else. Dick Brown is the kind of guy, I think, who calls him as he sees him. I don't have any idea what he's going to call. That's up to him to do an investigation.
Have you been given a time frame on how long he thinks or his office thinks this might take?
No, but I said earlier, you know, today when I was talking to you before, that my guess is that 3 or 4 weeks before he would go to a grand jury, if he goes to a grand jury. I don't know that he's made that decision. Mm-hmm. That's up to him. You have to ask him. Keep in mind, these things do take a long time. The trial that's going on now of the person who allegedly executed in the back of the head to undercover cops. The shooting took place in 2004, and here we are in 2006. So, you know, justice does take a long time. I think the most important thing is that justice is served, that it's done correctly, and that everybody has their day in court, and that we don't prejudge anything. The reason that we're so lucky to be here in America is that we fundamentally have laws that give everybody the same opportunity to tell what happened and to be judged by their peers.
All right. Well, I'm afraid that we're not going to have time to take another telephone call here because our time is up for this week. But I know that it's, as you say, a sad day. We also have to remember that Sean Bell had two children who...
two young kids are going to grow up without a father.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll talk with you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here at 77 WABC. It is a Friday edition, and that means that Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday will join us as we continue. Stay with